Everybody's armed. We're only dangerous to the adversary. We're not dangerous to one another. Hallelujah. We're not going to use this as a weapon against one another to beat each other up with it. Hallelujah. Even though sometimes I'd like to smack people with the word, the Lord doesn't allow us to smack people with the word. He said if you smack them with the word, they might smack you back. I don't want anybody smacking me. How about you, Jeff? You want anybody smacking you? No, I don't want anybody smacking me either. Hallelujah. Today, so look with me this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 as we build a foundation for the direction we're going this morning in His Word.
Yes, sir. What?
Playing soccer with her pen. Be assured of one thing. Every last one of us are going to go through stuff. Amen. Just because we're in Christ, it doesn't mean that we're not going to be faced with things. Amen. But we've got hope and we've got promise and we got God's word. Amen. And I know He is faithful. You know, sometimes when I see things and I look through the natural eyes, I get beat up. But then when I look through the spiritual eyes and through the eyes of Christ, I get encouraged. Amen? Amen. And God wants to encourage us in the house. But He gives us some warnings in His Word to help us understand that, hey, we're going to go through some things in this world, but we're not going to go through them alone. And the Apostle Paul is in his letter to the Church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There have no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The truth of the matter is there's always an avenue of escape through the Lord. The challenge is taking His way, leaning not into our own understanding in all of our ways, acknowledging Him and allowing Him to direct our paths. He says our steps have been ordered, so He's given us everything that we need to be successful if we'll trust Him. If we'll put our trust and our hope in Him. So our text today is found in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Beginning to read with verse number 6. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The title of this morning's message is The Righteous Reality. And we're going to look at three things in our text today. We're going to be looking at to be resisting, to be rooted, and to be resting. You know, and so let's lift our word and make a declaration here today. You might ask yourself, well, Pastor, why do you always do that? Well, it's very seldom that the body of Christ comes into unity about anything. And what we're doing is we're coming in unity. And the devil hates unity. And when we come in unity and we're saying the same things, the devil's scattered. Amen? So let's make a declaration in the house today. Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can be who God says I can be. I can have everything God says I can have. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen. I reversed it in one place just to see if you were paying attention. Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And Lord, we're so grateful that you sent it here to accomplish something in our hearts and our lives today. So Father, I pray, Father God, that you speak to me as a vessel for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. And may I say what's on your heart and your mind, not what's on my heart and my mind. But may our hearts and minds be joined together as one in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we thank you for every last one that's here today. And each and every one of us needs to be encouraged, needs to be edified, needs to be exhorted, and needs to be comforted by your word. So, Lord, your word says that it will never return to you void. It'll accomplish what you sent it to do. So we give you praise and glory in advance for everything you're going to accomplish in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. You know, he says, to be resisting. You know, first thing we got to do is to be resisting the devil. We can't give in to his lies and his deception and believe all that he's trying to do. So first, look with me in Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul gives us some instructions through the preaching and teaching of his word. Amen. You read about this a lot, but it's part of our being able to resist something. If something's coming out of you, you need some kind of defense to resist it, okay? And so as it's coming, and God talks about the armor of God that he's given us through his word to be a resister against the adversary. Amen? He says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's not my might. It's not my power, it's his power. In other words, what we've done in this atmosphere today, when we came in and we did praise and worship to the Lord, we got it in a place of the atmosphere set to be submissive to him. Amen? If he says, if we're going to be strong in his power and his might, I've got to let him do it. So to resist the devil, he says first, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I resist the devil by putting on the armor of God. Amen. And as we put on the armor of God, as we get ourselves armed, we're armed to battle the adversary. We're not fighting people. He says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Stop putting a face on your problem. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What the adversary wants you to do is look at the individual and battle the individual, and then he never gets affected. In other words, he's staying in the background just laughing. Amen. Because God says we're not battling with people. Amen? So with this in mind, look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're talking about resisting the devil. The Apostle Paul brings up the reference of the Garden of Eden in verse number 3. He says this, he says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety or sneakiness or craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ Jesus. God does not make this complicated. God does not make this difficult. God's word is able to be read on a fifth grade reading level. Okay, so you don't have to be totally educated to understand God's word. Amen. And what he is saying is this adversary, just as the adversary came in and brought sin in the world through Eve, it wasn't Eve, it was the devil. And our battle is not with the ease of this world, but it's with the devil. And James chapter 4. Thank you for helping clear my throat. James says as simple as this. Listen to me. He says in James chapter 4, verse number 6. He says, but he giveth more grace. How many needs more grace? Amen. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. In other words, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He didn't say, resist the devil and submit to God. He said, submit to God, and he will give you power to resist the devil. And the devil will flee. Amen? When the devil isn't winning, he doesn't hang around. He goes and tries to find something else to bug you with. He ain't going to leave you alone. Amen? But what he sees, he's not going to have victory. Amen? He changes his course of action. Then he says to you and I, he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In other words, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, so we've made our minds up. First, if we're going to be victorious, we're going to resist the devil. Amen? We're going to submit to God, resist the devil. Amen? So we're to be resisting. Resisting comes in the lies and the deception. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Amen. Be careful, mouth, what you speak. Amen. Let's not give them the arsenal against ourselves. And when I was looking at the scripture today, also he said, resist steadfast. Steadfast. To be steadfast means to be rooted. To be rooted. Amen? So to be resisting, to be able to resist the devil, I need to be rooted. I need to be grounded. Matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57, the word of God says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. We're being steadfast, I'm moving, we're being rooted, you know. I'm standing strong, I'm holding my ground. The apostle said in Galatians chapter 5, the apostle reminds them, now they were delivered out of the bondage of the law, and he's ministering grace, the grace of God. And this goes on many, many levels, not just on the law, but in freedom itself. You know, they become free from the bondage of the law, and you and I became free from the sin of this world through Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. What has God delivered you from? What has God set you free from? Amen. Whatever he has delivered us from, he says for us to stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And this goes on many levels. In the light of the context, he's speaking about the law. But in the light of the word, he's speaking about sin. The law was even become sin. The law was becoming bondage. And God was reminding them who the Son has made free is free indeed. And we're not to be entangled again. You know, if we open up the door of the past to where God has shut doors, it's worse then than it ever was before. Amen. All of a sudden, the adversary brings more junk with him. And there's more stuff that comes to try to hinder you and I. Amen. Well, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Because God desires for every last one in this room to live in victory, to live in freedom, to have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. God desires for us all to have everything that he's given us. Amen. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, as he's closing his, Apostle Peter, excuse me, as he's closing his letter, gives a word of warning. It's a word of warning to the body of Christ. Verse 17, he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Then he encourages them. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow. God just said, none of us have arrived yet. We're all to keep growing. We're all to keep ministering. We're all to keep serving. You know, we talked about it this morning. It's all about perspective, the way you look at it. You can look at it like, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. God, make me do this or I have to do this or I have to do that. Or you can see it through the eyes of the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus, that you opened the opportunity for me to do this. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you opened the opportunity for me to do that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've set me free. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you changed my course. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the people that you placed before me. Thank you, Lord, even though they're trying me, you're growing me through them. Thank you, Jesus, in everything. Give thanks. For that is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you and me. Hallelujah. It's all a matter of perspective. It's all a matter of how we look at it. And God wants us to see it through the eyes of the Lord and not through the eyes of man. Because if you look at it through the eyes of man, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get disappointed. You're going to get downhearted. You're going to get broken. But when you see it through the eyes of the Lord, hallelujah, you see that your life that God is using as a vessel to help transform other lives. Amen. I don't know about you, but that gets me kind of excited. Amen. I got to look at it a different thing. And they used to tell me in sales, and I used to promote sales and train salespeople. And it was a matter of your glass being half full or half empty. I see the glass half full. The devil wants me to see it half empty. I'm not seeing it half empty because I have a greater positive one that's in me. The positive one that's in me is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost isn't negative at all. The Holy Spirit is a positive influence on our lives. Amen. Can somebody give God praise? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but he pumps me up. Hello? Does the Holy Spirit ever, the Holy Spirit never beats me up. And when God comes and convicts me of something, when God comes in and convicts me, he comes in love. He comes in with mercy. He comes in with grace. And he shows me where I'm at. And he doesn't beat me up. He lifts me up. And God's saying, children of God, Listen to me. Let's stop stepping on our brothers and sisters when they're down. Let's extend a hand and lift them up. Let's encourage them. I tell you what, everyone in this room needs an encouraging word from you. Hello. Some are sitting in this room, they say, well, I come here all the time and I just feel all alone. Hello? Doesn't seem like nobody cares. Yes, they do. People are afraid just to give you some encouraging word. They're so used to reading the newspaper, they have to report the news instead of the good news. Hallelujah. Are we all right there? You see, to be able to resist the devil, we got to remind ourselves who we're rooted in. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Oh, the ground is sinking sand. Then as we're rooted in him, we're able to rest. You know what faith is? Faith is resting and believing that it's finished and it's done. Faith is the substance of things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God, for they that come to him must believe he is God, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So what he is saying to us, when we say faith, pistis, Greek word pistis, trust or reliance, well, why do you have rest there, to be resting? It means this. It means if I'm trusting God and I believe in him in faith, I'm resting that it's already done. I'm resting that it's already complete. You know, this is the day of rest. You know what this is called, the day of rest? Because truly, this is the day of faith. This is the day of faith because faith brings rest. Brings rest to our bodies. With this in mind, look with me in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. Verse number 1. The word of God says, let us therefore fear lest a promise be left us of entering into his rest, if any should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Amen? In other words, for us to rest in the finished work of Calvary and to be at peace, to be flowing in the fruits of the Spirit, by faith, we have to be resting in him. Amen? With this thought in mind, look with me to 1 John chapter 5. How many born-again believers do we have in the room? Let me see your hand. How many born-again believers do we have in the room? Let me see your hand. If you're not born again, I have to take you to the altar. Hallelujah. I think everybody in the house is saved. The apostle John says this, the beloved John in 1 John 5, 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen?
Amen.
So no matter what comes our way, no matter what the adversary throws, that we are born of God and we overcome the world, and we overcome the world and the things that he throws at us by faith. So in other words, that's where I can keep my peace. That's where the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding can guard my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. Because God said it. If I truly believe his word is true, then it's done. I got to get it here. We have it here. But there's a battle. There's an 18-inch battle between the heart and the mind. Amen? And greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. So you're going to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by your word of your testimony. If I'm going to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, then my testimony has to change. My testimony becomes words according to God's word, not according to my thoughts. My thoughts are foolishness to God. Amen? I'm going to say God's thoughts. God is greater than all of us. His mind is greater. His thoughts are greater. So we're going to think on the things. We're going to think on these things, the Bible says. And the peace of God shall guard our hearts. Amen? We're going to change our thinking. It's just it's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of the way we look at it. So the Apostle Paul illustrates this in Romans chapter 8. So go with me to Romans chapter 8. Verse number 35. The Apostle Paul says this. He asks this question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No. Nay. No. No. Don't stop there. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. When I was looking at that, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9, Jesus speaking to the Apostle Paul, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. You know, it's kind of interesting to watch as the enemy comes in like a flood. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against them. And it's kind of interesting to see how the adversary comes in like a flood and see how God shows up all the time. Amen? Amen. I've been with many of you that have been in places where the doctor said one thing, but God said another. I've been with many of you that were bound, but the Lord set you free. I've been many of you that have been through trials and through tests and the hard times of life, but God always showed up and showed himself faithful. Amen. We serve a God that is faithful. And in our text today, the Apostle Paul said, Peter said this. He said, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So in closing today, the Bible says in Psalms 34:19, it's one of my favorite scriptures. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Many are the afflictions, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So in closing, what the Father is saying to you and I through his word today, for us to be resisting, we need to be rooted. Amen? Amen. And as we're rooted in God's word and in the kingdom of God and his word, then we can be resting in faith at the finished work of Calvary. The Apostle Paul would say in verse number 10 of 1 Peter chapter 4, but the God of all grace, who have called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What is the Lord saying today? Hey, that we're to be resisting the adversary. We're to be rooted in him and resting in the finished work of Calvary.